time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up with the Saturday morning sun, plop down the floor with a big bowl of sugary cereal and watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And this morning we watched Adventures of the Gummy Bears.
Disney's Adventure of the Gummy Bears.
That's the
Disney
extended
title. Disney wants you to know that they made this.
Well, it's a good thing they did, and I'll get to that later, but...
Okay.
Good on you, Disney. Good on you.
Good job, Disney. Way to make a cartoon for once. Jeez.
Who suggested this to us?
This was suggested to us by Rhea via Twitter, so thank you very much, Rhea.
Yes, thank you, Rhea. So the show Adventures of the Gummy Bears, Disney's Adventures of the Gummy Bears,
right,
ran from 85 to 91, created by Michael Eisner, Art Vitello, and Jim McGann, produced by Walt Disney Television Animation, ran for 65 episodes, 94 if you count the double feature episodes, which were like 11-minute segments. Not all of them were like that, but some of them were, so 94 in total. This ran on the NBC network from 85 to 89, ABC network from 89 to 90, and then it was syndicated from 90 to 91. For a short synopsis, a group of reclusive humanoid bears and a few trusted humans explore their lost heritage and prevent their enemies from exploiting it. Like how they say humanoid bears.
Yeah, I like the word reclusive. That for whatever reason, anytime I hear the word reclusive, it makes me think of spiders. So I'm just thinking of these little like cartoon bears just with eight legs just hanging up in trees, like waiting for people to walk by so they can snatch them up and you know, put them in a bear web. Yeah.
Humanoid spider bears. That sounds yes, terrifying.
That's what I want to see. That's the next Disney cartoon. They're doing a reboot.
It's Disney horror.
Yeah, it's real. They're doing this.
So who are some of the actors who played in this show?
Okay, so the character of Kevin was voiced by lots of people. So for season one, voiced by Christian Jacobs. For season two, Brett Johnson. For season three, David Faustino. And then season four and five, Jason Marsden, and then finally season six, RJ Williams. The kids just kept dying. So, you know, like they were sacrificed each year to make sure that the next season would grow in very nicely. So they had to sacrifice Kevin at the end of every season and then get a new
sacrifice
one.
Sacrifice him to the spider bears.
Yeah, to the spider bears.
Makes sense.
The character of Grammy Gummy was voiced by June Foray. And she has had a hugely, hugely, huge, awesome career. She has been in, lots of, other Disney things like Cinderella, Peter Pan. She was also Hazel the Witch and Granny in the Looney Tunes. She was Rocky and Natasha from Rocky and Bullwinkle and tons of other classics like Flintstones, Smurfs, DuckTales. She worked all the way up until 2014 and just passed away this year at age 99. I remember seeing stuff about her a month or two ago. So when I saw her name on here, I was like, why is she so familiar? And then I'm like, okay.
Yep. Wow. That's a long career.
I know, man. So the character of Cubby Gummy and Princess Kala was voiced by Noelle North, who has been in cartoons like Jem, The Smurfs, and The Legend of Prince Valiant. Character of Tummy Gummy was voiced by Lorenzo Music, who's known for being the TV show Rhoda, and he was voiced Venkman in The Real Ghostbusters, Sergeant Dunder in Tailspin, and Garfield in Garfield and Friends. The character of Sunny Gummy was Katie Lay, and she has been in cartoons such as Dungeons and Dragons, My Little Pony and Friends, The Muppet Babies as Rolf, and Richie Rich. And she was Alex from Totally Spies, which was one that we did on the show, and I love Totally Spies. The character of Gruffy Gummy had two voice actors. The first one in season one was Bill Scott, and Bill Scott was also the original Bullwinkle and Mr. Peabody from the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. So he was the castmate of June Foray way back in the day also. So that's really awesome that both of them got to appear in both of these cartoons and be reunited. Nice. And then the role was taken over by Corey Burton, who you may have heard as both Spike, Braun, and Sunstreaker from the Transformers G1 cartoon. He was James Bond Jr. He was Felix and Mighty Max. If anyone loves Mighty Max like I do, you know Felix. He's awesome. He was Brainiac in most of the DC animated shows like Superman and Justice League and all that stuff. And he was Count Dooku in Clone Wars, which is cool. So,
oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Finally, the last character I've got on my list here, Zummy Gummy, voiced by Paul Winchell from season 1 through season 5, who also voiced Dick Dastardly in all the Hanna-Barbera stuff. He was Gargamel from the Smurfs, and he was the original voice of Tigger in Winnie the Pooh. This role was taken over by Jim Cummings, who also has voiced Tigger in Winnie the Pooh. They literally have almost the exact same voice. It's crazy. We've heard him before also in Rescue Rangers, Tailspin, Goof Troop, Darkwing Duck, Bonkers, Sonic the Hedgehog, Tasmania, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and tons and tons and tons more that would take way too long to list. Jim Cummings, you've heard him before.
That's a pretty good cast.
It's a great cast. That's like, lots of alums here. And unfortunately, some not with us anymore, but they were voice acting royalty, you know, from the get-go. So it's awesome. So yeah, lots of talent.
Co-starring in this at one point or another. I don't know how many episodes, but...
Rob Paulsen.
Yeah, Rob Paulsen was in it. Also Frank Welker, of course.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure he was some sort of creature.
In every cartoon, yeah. So for a few tasty marshmallows out of our big bowl of gummy bear cereal, some episodes of this show were released theatrically overseas, which is crazy. So, I mean, that would have been amazing to see as a kid in the U.S. That's kind of weird. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea why. No context to it, but...
No credit.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
This was the first Saturday morning cartoon series produced by Walt Disney Productions. With the series becoming a major success because of the production value, it made Disney Television Animation immediately a major force in the medium. So this was kind of a test on their part, but because it was all under their helm, they were able to put so much into it and so much money into it that's really where what made it shine so much, so brightly.
As I was gonna say, no wonder it lasted 6 seasons. That's crazy.
Walt Disney Company CEO Michael Eisner was a co-creator of the show, and he is said to have come up with the idea when his son asked him for gummy bear candies.
So, okay, and that was one of the things I was wondering about is like, so were they trying to capitalize on the candy and they're like, hey, nobody's patented that name. Let's just, we'll copyright the name and just steal it. So
I don't even know. I don't even know that they took it or anything or that they have ownership rights to it.
Yeah, I don't know.
One of the two series in the Disney Afternoon lineup that is not based on the existing Disney properties was this one, and the other was Gargoyles from 94.
I didn't realize that was Disney.
And obviously not based on a previous property, so this one and Gargoyles, I think, are the only two.
And Gargoyles is one we'll have to get to one of these days. I promise we will.
Also, Princess Kala was named after the daughter of NBC president Brandon Tartikoff.
Was that her name, too? That's a weird name.
Probably. I don't know.
Maybe it was like a Charles Manson thing and she was literally born with no name. So a birth certificate said no name on it. And then he just kind of made something up later.
I'm almost certain that's not the case, but who knows?
All right. If you think so, you're the fact checker.
So, Chris, do you have any memories of this show?
Barely. Like I remember it existed and I think I've seen it maybe once or twice. I didn't remember much of it other than the design of a couple of the bears, and that's it.
So I love gummy bear candies, of course, specifically the Haribo ones that we were talking about, and especially Frozen, because, you know, that's the best way to eat them, hands down. And I introduced that to you, I think.
I know, and now I only eat them frozen.
See?
What have you done to me? You made me a freak! A freak!
I don't know of many people who do that, or any people who do that, except for the two of us now, but...
Yeah,
trust me. Anybody who's listening, it's the best way. Try it out. Get back to me. Yeah. And you're welcome. I mean, that's about the candy, though. I have fond memories of the candy because I still love it and eat it to this day.
Right.
But also have fond memories of this cartoon from my childhood because it was one of those that I watched pretty regularly. Probably not during its original run since I only would have been like 5 by the time it was over. Not even. Yeah, 5 when it was over. So it was, I'm sure, in syndication on the Disney Channel or something. I don't know where I saw it, but I know that I had seen a lot of this show before.
Right.
Because I remember the song, I remember most of the bears' names, and overall, the plot line, just not a lot of the stories. So
sure.
It was like revisiting something that I remember from childhood, and the song will be stuck in my head forever.
So. Oh my God, that song. Like, I kind of like it, but also just absolutely hate it at the same time.
How can you do both?
It's because I can multitask, Joseph. I'm good at it.
Mixing your love and your hate. Okay.
I can't do it because I have a cold.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm getting over the trifecta. I'm getting over the flu, a sinus infection, and an ear infection all at once. So I've been having a great week.
That's like your body just giving up on you.
It did. My body is just like, you know what? We're not cool anymore. I'm just going to give in.
Yeah, I'm going on vacation. Good luck.
I just absorbed every possible germ that was in the air that day.
Yeah.
Just breathed it all in.
So let's go ahead and talk about the three episodes we watched for today's show. Our first episode, highest rated episode, and finally, random monster chosen episode. Order may vary depending on how these episodes are chronological, but of course, we have to start with the very first episode being season one, episode one, A New Beginning.
Like, how many cartoons, like, the first episode starts with that? Like, it's called A New Beginning.
It always has to be like a new beginning or rebirth or rise like of that. The something. Yeah, it's always something like that.
I hate it. Like, stop with the tropes. Come on, guys. We've seen it. We've already seen it.
They're dashing, they're daring, courageous, and caring.
And they bounce.
Yep, they do bounce.
So do newborn babies, though.
So what? Okay. Don't test that at home, please. So one of the first things we see here is we see this guy. We don't know his name at this point, but it ends up being Duke
Igthorn.
So we end up seeing Duke Igthorn make his first appearance here, and he lets us know pretty much right away. So this is almost like you basically know what's going to happen for the rest of, I don't know if it's for the rest of the series, but at least for the rest of this season, you've got this guy who is, has a bunch of ogres under his command, and he wants to take over the castle from King Gregor.
I had one problem here, and that is these don't look like ogres to me. These look like trolls. I don't know, how do you feel? Like, ogres I picture as, like, bigger humanoids, like, almost like orcs, but they're bigger. And these, I don't know, man, these look like trolls. They got goofy-looking heads and pointy ears and elongated mouths.
Yeah, I don't know, I mean, what they were basing it off of originally when they made these, but my first thought when I saw them was, oh, they're ogres. And I don't...
Gross.
Not because they remind me of ogres that I've seen before, but I don't know.
Because I just didn't think completely wrong.
I just didn't think trolls at first. Yeah, so they are ogres though in this show.
Ah.
So the Duke is trying to take over. Well, is he a Duke or is his name just Duke? I think his name is just Duke. I don't think he's actually a Duke of anything.
Yeah, if he is, it's a place that is not mentioned. But
yeah,
yeah, they just refer to him as Duke Igthorn. Maybe he names himself Duke. You know.
Yeah, maybe. Important? He's the Duke of himself. Yeah. it's Dunwin Castle is the one he's trying to take over.
Yes.
We see Kevin and... Which is a weird name, and I kept thinking they were saying Kevin until I read it. I
did, too, at first, until like I looked it up and saw that it was Kevin. Because when they said it, it didn't necessarily sound like they were saying Kevin, but...
Yeah, I thought they just had like a lengthy thing on their like they were just extending or saying Kevin in a strange way,
right?
Like, oh, that's cute, I guess. But no, Kevin.
No,
is his
it's
name.
Not cute.
Okay, it's not cute. he's riding alongside one of his, I guess, fellow pages. I don't remember this guy's name, but he finds out he has this other guy finds out he has this gummy bear medallion on, and he's like, you know, do you still believe in him or whatever? You believe in the gummy bears? And he was making fun of him and stuff. He's like the bully against him.
I'd be like, yeah, they're fucking delicious, man. Like, haven't you eaten any?
It's actually kind of funny you say that because I don't remember at what point they joke about it, but...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The gummy bears...
Kevin meets the gummy bears.
Yeah, like, they think that he's going to... That humans eat gummy bears.
I'd be like, you know it. Off. Get over here.
Yeah.
Which one of you is, I'm trying to think of the color. They all have like normal looking colors, except the pink one. I would eat the pink one probably.
Which one's the pink one?
I think the smallest one, Cubby.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He was pink.
I'd devour that thing.
So there's Cubby. He was a pink one. Sunny is the yellow one.
Yeah, maybe I should go for Sunny. That's a little less creepy.
Grammy is orange.
Yeah, she looks like she's been left out in the sun too long, though.
Gruffy is brown, I think.
Yeah,
I
don't know if that's a brown gummy bear. That's disgusting.
Yeah. That's why he's so gruffy. So
there's like grumpy. One of the other ones gray. I'm like, no.
Yeah, that's Zummy. Yeah, I mean, he's an old bear. You don't want to eat that anyway.
Well, it's got like dust and like hairs like hanging off of it.
Yeah,
spider exactly. Leg. There's no spider even attached. It's just one leg stuck to it. It's been there for two
years. A random spider leg. Yeah.
Yeah. So the spider that died under the refrigerator.
Yeah. So basically what ends up happening is, just to make a little brief, is Kevin ends up running into the gummies, who sort of save him and also save him from the ogres, and also accidentally let him into their lair.
Yeah, and then they freak out that Kevin's in there. Kevin's just trying to convince them. He's like, hey, I'm your friend. Like, I'll be cool. I won't tell anyone about your secret. We see in the next episode that apparently he told someone about the secret. But he's just like, you know, we can be friends. And then they take him hostage, man. They tie him up and like everything. And like, Gruffy's obviously super racist. Like, he just hates anything that isn't a gummy bear.
Yeah, but he ends up having like a heart of gold, though.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where he's against him, but he grows to care about him.
That's true. It's true.
So there's also, let's talk about gummy berry juice, which is,
oh yeah,
for the gummies, it just makes them like bounce around. It's mainly just to help them escape, I guess, or back when the gummy bears were fighters, in some way to assist their fighting. But for humans, it gives them like a small feat of like extraordinary strength. Yes. And Kevin's the first one who was able to test this out.
So the one thing that I don't understand about this gummy berry juice, and it's maybe just because they're bad at being gummy bears, because we find out that there's like a book of like secrets to their race and stuff like that, that they can't open for some reason. Turns out Kevin's the only one that can help them open it. I guess they had lost a lot of their history and information and stuff. So maybe the real recipes and that thing, because the one they make, like, that stuff only lasts like 10 seconds. I'm like, what's the point of that? You can bounce for like a little bit, but then you're just going to like splat on the ground and break a bone like everybody else.
Yeah, which actually kind of happens when Duke Igthorn gets a hold of the gummy berry juice, or at least some of it, from Kevin. Like, it's predictable in the sense that like he's lifting up these boulders and holding them for way too long, and he doesn't know that it's only temporary, but we do, so we're just waiting for the literal rock to fall on him.
Yeah, and then it crushes him and he dies.
Not the case.
But anyway, it does fall on him, and I assume he looks like a flat sheet of paper under that rock.
Yeah, I assume it was one of those situations where they pick up the rock and he's on the bottom of it, and then like after he comes off it, he's just like floating down slowly.
Yeah, just like a little feather.
He has a like a personal assistant, basically. Yeah. Oh, his name was Toadwort.
Toadwort.
But yeah, Toadie for short. And so Toadie actually does get crushed by a rock during this one, and he's okay. Igthorn is building a secret catapult to try to. So he's trying to take over Castle Dunwin, but at the same time, he's trying to destroy it. So I don't know which one what his ultimate plan is.
He just didn't think it through very well. That's all that's happened.
Yeah, he's just trying to take over the land that was Castle Dunwin.
I will take you over by destroying you. And then like once he destroys it, he's like, wait a minute.
He can rule over the ruins. Yeah.
There's also like hint that there's some sort of crush going on between, Kevin and Princess Kala.
And you don't get to see any of their history beforehand, but the way that she reacts to him going missing, even though he's just a simple page and she's the princess, like, she reacts very strongly to it and then kind of backs down. So you can tell something's going on.
Well, yeah, because like the king and everybody else is just kind of like, why are you so interested? You know, like, they would not be pleased if she had a thing for him. So she tries to keep it on the hush hush.
And real quick to kind of wrap this episode up. So Zummy is the one who is he's a historian. He's kind of a wizard. Eventually they unlock this tomb, this big gummy tomb that they hadn't been able to unlock before using the gummy medallion that Kevin left behind. He learns some of these spells. He goes out into the world to, basically because the book tells him like they need to help those in need, they go out to the human world, even though they're scared of it initially. The first thing they do is rescue cabin because he is there trying to prevent the secret catapult from being built, but he gets chained up. And so they use the invisibility spell on Gruffy, which again is very temporary and only lasts long enough for him to basically get over there. Not even, like, he's kind of phasing in and out.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't even last like a few seconds. He just keeps shooting in and out of being invisible. So it's not very good.
And it might just be because, you know, Zumi is a novice at it at this point. But either way, it gives him enough invisibility to confuse the ogres as he gets over to Kevin, gives him the gummy berry juice, and he's able to drink it, break out, and start throwing ogres all over the place.
Throwing ogres. I like that phrase.
It sounds like a old like 90s band or something.
Yes.
Throwing ogres.
Yeah.
Counting crows, throwing ogres.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw them at the Creepy Crawl in downtown St. Louis.
We might be giants. Yes. Or they might be giants. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
After that is when Ikthorn takes the juice himself and then starts picking up rocks. He tosses one of them at the castle and he feels invincible, eventually gets crushed. That kind of wraps up the episode. Close with Zumi feeling out the book, saying that they helped a young boy save the castle today or save his kingdom today or something. So kind of a cool send off to the first episode, a new beginning for the gummy bears, because I guess the gummy bears were supposed to be like some kind of heroic beings beforehand, and something got lost in translation and they just turned into the reclusive gummies that were scared to go out in the open.
The spiders. Yeah.
Yeah. The spider gummies. Spider, yeah. Gummies. Spider gummies. Right. Humanoid spider bears. Right.
Yeah.
The second episode we watched for today's show, The Crimson Avengers, season 2, episode 4. And I chose this one because the name sounded cool. Kala, in a previous episode, we didn't see this one, but Kala had called Cubby an unseen defender of Dunwin. And so he's kind of going around, like, thinking he's all heroic around the house and stuff and, you know, playing superhero. And he's just annoying the family, basically. Like, they're all tired of hearing it, and just tell him to go out and do something.
You know, as you would with a child that gets on your nerves, just get out of the house, go do something, you little infant, and just stay out of our hair.
Well, that's how it was back in the 80s, especially.
Get out of here, unsupervised, and leave me alone. Yeah,
that was the basic thing for parents to do.
Remedy. Yeah, that's what my parents would do. They'd be like, get outside and, like, you know, we'll chain you back to the fence. Just leave us alone. And I'm like, all right.
Okay.
Bring him my rope.
Fence time again. He's outside just pretending to defend the kingdom, the castle. And he sees an old man, like, traveler wandering by. And this guy comes out to rob him. And so he actually is able to end up saving him. But he's just in his, like, red pajamas at this point. And so, like, he bounces around, he saves the guy. And so word gets around and rumor starts spreading about this Crimson Avenger based on his red pajamas. And so he takes that moniker and he turns it into an actual superhero.
He gets a costume and everything that's very, like, Zorro-ish looking, but red. And he keeps catching that same thief. And then the thief's just like, I'm done. And he's like, I'm going to go back to town and start a gang or something. And he does.
Yeah, like, it seems like he's going to be a throwaway thief at first. And when he came back, and I thought it was funny that he got busted again. Yes. I didn't realize he was going to be, you know, the main protagonist or antagonist, basically.
He's the arch nemesis, is what he is.
Of the Crimson Avenger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just this redheaded robber dude.
The redheaded robber.
I don't remember his name.
I think that's what we're going to call him. So, like, that guy goes, he starts doing his thing. So he gets these two little lackeys that kind of start, like, a little bit of a crime spree. Meanwhile, Cubby's been trying to, he's been spending a lot of time doing this, which is infringing on other parts of his life. So he's, like, sleeping too much during the day, or, like, people are getting suspicious of why he's, like, gone so long, things like that. So it's starting to catch up to him a little bit.
Yeah, but he also, at a certain point, he recruits Tummy to his side, too.
And he's a sidekick.
Like, yeah, like, Tummy finds out a secret, and then Tummy's very gullible, I guess, in that Cubby was able to talk him into being his sidekick and going out and saving the kingdom, even against his better judgment.
Yeah, he's like, this is a bad idea. guess I'll do it.
Yeah, guess I'll do it. And then he gives him like a big green outfit. He's just like, why do I agree to this? They're two of the best characters.
So they kind of start messing things up. Like there's this one robbery going wrong with one of the redheaded dude's lackeys is like robbing this woman. And I don't remember exactly what happens except for Cubby does something and accidentally makes it so that the woman falls down. The thief gets away. And Cubby thinks he's saved the day, but he hasn't. And like everybody's getting mad at him. So the Crimson Avenger becomes like a wanted criminal in the kingdom for just causing so much trouble. Cause he's like taking the blame for a lot of stuff. And Tommy gets injured while he's out too. It looks like he like pulls his back or something. And then for mm-hmm. the rest of the episode, all he can do is go, oh,
yeah.
Having Tommy gotten injured and becoming a wanted criminal, Cubby's kind of like, well, I messed up. And he's just like, I'm done. He kind of hangs it up.
Yeah.
But then Princess Kala is kind of catching on to these things happening and is knew that the Crimson Avenger was doing the right thing because she knew who it was, obviously. And then so she kind of takes up the mantle and gets caught pretty much immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, it was almost kind of a pointless thing. Like she goes to Sunny, talks with Sunny, makes the costume, goes out to help, and like the first thing she does, she gets caught by the guards and stuff. So,
oh, also, Kavin got framed by the redheaded thief for stealing the king's gems because he just planted them in Kavin's pocket, and instantly there's like, well, must have been you. Like, dude, there's possible way it could have been anyone else.
Yeah. Those guards are so like, I mean, trigger happy isn't the word because they don't have guns, but like the second that thief was like, he's the one that stole the jewels, they like immediately like started chasing him with spears. Like they didn't even ask a question. They're just like, well, we got to kill this kid.
And I don't know if that's what they were saying exactly, but they were basically like, why are you running? And he's like, well, you're chasing me with spears. Like, yeah. Why wouldn't I run?
Like chased him into an alley, like pointing the weapons right at his face.
And then they find that one of the gems in his pocket. They're like, okay, well, he's obviously guilty. It's him. No possible way anything else could have happened.
Send him to the gallows.
Yeah, he goes to jail. Like he's in prison.
Oh, man, that's the best.
That's a hanging.
Yeah, that's a hanging for sure. You know, they're going to cut off at least both hands. One for each ruby. So with all that going down, word gets back to Cubby. And Cubby dons the Crimson Avenger guys again. Goes out there and actually thwarts the real thieves. And like this is what I like. He kind of tortures the main thief. Like Batman style by like hanging him upside down from a very high height. And then the guy confesses that he was the one that framed Kavin and stuff like that. And I was just like, oh man, Cubby's getting like savage. He's like a grizzly gummy bear now.
He's tired of it because this guy framed him.
Tired of your shit.
Yeah. This guy like framed Kavin and, I guess in a way, got the princess in trouble. So
yeah,
he's a bad dude. He deserved it.
Yeah. So he's just like, I'll kill you.
I don't know I don't think that's what he said, but it was something along those lines.
Little Cubby hangs him upside down. And he's like, where is he? Where is the jewel? I mean, tell him who took the jewels.
Yeah. I wish he had said, where is he or something. Then we could have seen direct inspiration for that line. That would have been gummy bears.
Yeah. I know that Christopher Nolan was watching a lot of gummy bears before he did The Dark Knight. So.
Oh, of course. Who wasn't?
Yeah.
At this point, that's just kind of it for Crimson Avenger. He retires it, but he's like, you know, I'm done for now, but you never know when danger might strike again. So that leaves it open for him to come back, which he does at some point. I think it's in the last season, but he might have come in somewhere between them two. So the last episode we watched for today's show was Wings Over Dunwin, season 6, episode 18. And this was the highest rated episode. It opens with Grammy making these pies. Tummy comes in to try one and they end up being like bird pies, which I guess tastes distinctively different from regular pies because he's kind of disgusted by it.
When they first did that, I was like, wait, is it made of bird or is it for birds?
Yeah, is it like a chicken pot pie? But no, I could get down with
the chicken pot pie.
Oh, of course.
Like, I do all kinds of things to those. Those are delicious.
On the other side of the kingdom, you have Toadwort, who's cooking for the Duke, and the Duke hates it, so he is telling him to find him something decent to eat. Toady ends up going outside, and I think he sees one of these zephyr birds, and those are the ones that Grammy is going to feed, because they give the bears, or the bears use their feathers and something else to, you know, make their stuff. So they feel like they owe it to them. Yeah, probably blood. Yeah. And so they feel like they owe them something. So she makes them these pies annually, I believe, when they're in season. And so Toady, while Grammy is trying to feed them, Toady is trying to catch them to cook them.
Yes.
Initially.
And those things are huge, man. Like, they're big enough that a full-grown human could ride on one.
Yeah, easily. It's a pretty big bird.
So they're big birds. They're not big bird, but they are big birds. No.
Yeah, because big bird couldn't fly, but these birds definitely can.
Toady initially fails, and then they send, like, so Igthorn, Toady, and the rest of the ogres go out after him, and they bird-nap those birds. When Grammy goes out to feed them, she goes up to their little roost and finds that they're all gone, but there's an egg there. So she instinctively is like, well, I better sit on this egg myself. And she breaks it and it dies.
No, not at all. It cracks open and it hatches. And then it kind of sees Grammy as its parent.
I think so, yeah.
They take it home to take care of it. But this little chick is huge. Like, it's still larger than the gummy bears. Yeah, at least the same height as them. Yeah.
That's why it's like, so she brings it back to the tree. Her and Zumi, sorry. Why do I say Zumi? You kept saying Zumi.
I know,
it's Zumba classes. They're getting them mixed up. So Grammy, Zumi, and Gruffy go out to try to find the birds, and the others are in charge of watching this baby one. And they're the worst babysitters, because it's like within seconds that little bird escapes and they don't even realize it.
Yeah. Well, because like immediately they're just like, all right, let's all leave the room at once.
Yes.
And they go to the kitchen to grab something. All of them, no one to keep an eye on the bird. And he's just like, all right, well, this is my out. And he leaves.
He's like, see you later. Igthorn's using the zephyr birds to fly over the kingdom and scare them. And say, like, you know, I'm taking over. And I was confused at first because he was literally just flying around but wasn't attacking. And everyone's freaking out. And the king's like, oh, what do we do? And I'm like, well, you could just kill the bird. You know, just shoot it.
He calls it his ogre air force.
His ogre air force, yes. But then they actually do start attacking by throwing rocks. And they have little bags of swamp gas, which is gross, I guess. I mean, and they're literally like defeating this kingdom with rocks and swamp gas. So it must smell real bad.
Probably real bad.
It's like my fart smell right now because I'm on this very specific antibiotic. And it's just like every fart is like a death trap. It's like a death sentence for anyone in the room.
It's swamp gas.
Yeah, it's worse. It's worse than swamp gas. I could take over many kingdoms.
More deadly than swamp gas.
Gruffy also hates the birds because he's racist.
He just hates everything unfamiliar to him. And because he wanted Grammy to stitch up one of his shirts and she was making the pie instead, so he resents the birds.
He blames the birds for his problems, which is unfortunate. Your problems are your own, old man.
Yeah, Igthorn's throwing those rocks, throwing the swamp gas. They start roping the bears initially start roping the birds down or roping the ogres off the birds.
That baby bird goes and finds Zumi, Grammy, and Gruffy because they got captured by Igthorn before Igthorn left. Baby bird comes, shows up, saves them, gets them to the castle. And yeah, then they get ropes and they start like lassoing these suckers and bringing them down.
Oh yeah, the baby bird can't even fly at first. And then he ends up having to, Grammy falls off a cliff or something. And so the bird ends up learning to fly in order to save her. Maybe she could have used some gummy bear juice and bounced off the bottom of the hill or whatever she fell off of.
I would like to see the science behind gummy bear juice because I'm like, you know, this would have to change their molecular structure as well as their like buoyancy and everything. For them to be able to just start randomly bouncing.
Well, that's talking human physics. This is gummy bear physics. So it's probably different because humans just get strong. They don't start bouncing.
I'm gonna have to call up Neil deGrasse Tyson or Bill Nye or, you know, one of those guys and ask them to explain gummy berry juice.
I'm sure someone will. They'll have an answer.
Oh, definitely.
So the ogres and Ichthorn all get knocked into the moat. The day is saved.
Well, one thing I thought was funny is like, so, I mean, I figured it's pretty obvious, like, that like ogres are riding on these birds and like Ichthorn is on the birds because he's the one like swooping literally right over the head of the king and yelling about how he's going to take over. And even though they get dethroned, like they get knocked off the birds and the birds are still in the air, they still order the soldiers to take the birds down and start shooting arrows at them. Like, man, they're just bloodthirsty. They just want to kill something, man. They're just savages.
And trigger happy, as you said.
Exactly. They just want to see something die. But they don't get to see it. And then Grammy uses some feathers to make a cushion for Gruffy's sore butt.
Why was his butt sore?
This is a children's show. We can't talk about it.
I don't remember what happened in the episode, but I guess he got injured somehow.
Yeah, who knows? I don't remember it either.
Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we grab a giant bag of gummies for our inner kids, giving them a great fit of strength, or at least a great sugar rush, while they review Adventures of the Gummy Bears.
The gummy bears are kind of fun, even though their superpower juice doesn't last long enough to really do anything cool. I mean, you could drink it and punch a hole in the wall of a bank to rob the bank, but it would wear off by the time the cops got there, and then you're just gonna get caught. But I liked the bears, and it's an enjoyable show for my age, so I gave it 3.5 bowls of racist bear cereal out of 5. And from now on, when I eat gummy bears, I'll eat them faster so that they have a quick death and don't suffer.
With awesome action sequences, likable characters, and beautiful animation, thanks to Disney's high production value, you can't really go wrong with this cartoon. Honestly, I can't really think of anything I don't like about this show. Even the buffoonish enemies have their own charm to them, especially Ichthorn's henchman, Toadwort, who had me laughing anytime he was on the screen. This is an amazing little cartoon based on amazing little candies, and both hold a special place in my heart. All that said, I'd have to give Adventures of the Gummy Bears 5 big bowls of yummy tummy gummy cereal out of 5, and now I'm wondering how I can get a hold of some of that gummy berry juice. Then I can be as strong as He-Man. I'll become the most powerful kid in the universe for about a minute.
Yeah, that's true. It's not going to last very long. So, you know, whatever the strongest kid in the universe is going to do, you got to do it in a real short window.
You better do it fast. Yeah,
do it real quick.
Sadly, I never found out that secret formula.
Well, I'm saying, like, I'll call up my buds, you know, from the science. Yeah, from the science. And we'll ask them. You know,
I call
up
my buds from the science. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to have something else there, and then my brain quit. So, from the science.
It's the sickness.
It is the sickness. Down with the sickness. Before I quote any more horrible songs from the late 90s, early 2000s, do you have any final thoughts on this show?
This show, like, I expected to go back to it and be kind of disenchanted or, you know, thinking that I went in with rose-colored glasses. But honestly, I really did like it. I think that it pretty much covered everything I needed it to. There was nobody in there that was particularly annoying or anything like that. Also, the gummy bear juice, I liked that it was temporary because no one really felt overpowered or anything. Like, it all kind of kept it within certain limitations. And even like the enemies, like my inner kids said, like they never got to the point where they were really annoying. They were kind of fun, and I liked how jokey they were with each other. Overall, I think it was fun to step back into the show, and it's one of those, if you haven't seen it, and honestly, I don't know how popular it really was, but if you haven't seen it, I'd say check it out, because I think especially kids will appreciate this.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's not something I'm going to be sitting down to watch more of, but it's got that classic cartoon feel that when I was watching it kind of made me feel like a kid again as I watched it. It's just delightful, and it's a show that I think kids from this era would enjoy as well as the kids did back when it was originally on, if you can find some good quality versions of it. It's got the medieval vibe to it, which is always welcomed by me, and it's got iconic and goofy characters, and it's got some great villain tropes that really make me as an 80s and 90s kid feel at home. So I'm glad we got to watch this one.
Yeah, so thank you, Rhea, for suggesting this. It was really fun to watch it again.
Yeah, thanks again, Rhea.
I got to relive my childhood, and I got to have some gummy bears while I did it.
So you were eating gummy bears, washing the gummy bears, and you didn't feel bad about it.
No.
Okay.
I felt really good about it. Actually, you know, that's kind of funny because that would be like the equivalent of eating a person while watching a like human a drama of some sort. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's kind of why I was just like, okay. I just want to measure what kind of person right. you were by
I guess your a guilt. Little twisted by those standards, but yeah. No, I didn't feel any guilt. I felt
okay, fine. I just want to make sure me and you were on the same page.
Oh, yeah. No, we're good.
Good.
Well, listeners, it looks like our milk supply is now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. Next week, we'll be watching
Ronin Warriors, suggested by Will Denson via Facebook.
Cool. Thanks, Will. I don't think I've ever seen this, but we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Next time.
And hopefully I will be not dying from the neck up next time.
Yeah.
That's my hope. We'll see.
You've got a whole week to heal up, so.
Send me those good vibes, listeners. Send those good vibes my way, please.
Send him good vibes. Send me gummy bears.
Yes.
Well, once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
We'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.